Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. And today on the docket, first, another Patrick Frazee trial update. Things are getting good. Second, you just can't trust your local serial killer anymore like you used to. Three, Marcy Montelongo, who is given the presumption of innocence, is not going to get the Mother of the Year award. And we have the dumb criminal contestant of the day, and we will crown a winner for the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. Thank you for tuning in. If you like our channel, please subscribe if you have not done so already. If you like the video, hit that thumbs up and please leave us a comment on what you think about what we've talked about today. So first on the docket, we have a Patrick Frazee trial update. Now, for those who don't know and haven't heard about this just yet, Patrick Frazee is on trial for murder of his fiance, the mother of his child, Kelsey Barrett. And he is also charged with solicitation to his other girlfriend for soliciting her, Crystal Lee Kenny, to kill Kelsey Barrett. Crystal Lee Kenny, the nurse, the other woman, has pled guilty to tampering with evidence, which is a class 6 felony. And in exchange for that reduction of charging, she has agreed to cooperate. She is eligible for probation. She could receive prison up to 3 years in the maximum range under the plea bargain in her particular case. And I guarantee you she will be asking for probation. Now, the trial started basically last Friday. So here we are, technically day 6. We heard from Crystal Lee Kenny over the course of about a day and a half. She testified to the fact that she had been solicited by her longtime on-again, off-again boyfriend, Patrick Frazee, and that she attempted to kill Kelsey Barrett herself on a couple of occasions, but never went through with it. And then, right about Thanksgiving, when this is all alleged to have happened, Crystal Lee Kenny states that she receives a phone call from Patrick Frazee, who says, "You have a mess to clean up," and that she, out of fear for her life and those around her, doesn't call the police, doesn't tell anyone of what she thinks may have happened, but she jumps in her car, drives from Idaho to Colorado Springs into the Teller County area, and proceeds to clean up the apartment where she says there is a large amount of blood, and it is believed that Kelsey Barrett was killed in there and ultimately taken out of the apartment. Now, Miss Barrett says that she was scared for her life, but she cleaned everything up anyway. And she didn't clean thoroughly in some spots because she wanted to get caught, basically. Now, understand, apparently after she leaves the apartment, and although there is video outside of the apartment, none shows Patrick Frazee leaving with this plastic bin that is alleged to have had Kelsey Barrett in the bin. Now, Crystal Lee Kenny apparently then goes with Patrick Frazee, goes to some property that he is renting and or the family ranch, whereupon they take this plastic bin that supposedly has the body of Kelsey Barrett, put some igniters on it, and burn the body, and then ultimately cover it up, this burn pit, with some more gravel, dirt, and some hay. Now, the defense basically cross-examined on Crystal Lee Kenny about really the fact that she didn't report this to anybody. When she was in town, she didn't tell the neighbor, "Oh my gosh, you're not going to believe what happened. You didn't go to the police department here. You didn't stop on your way back to Idaho when you also have the phone of Kelsey Barrett and you use it to send text messages and you take it all the way back and ultimately dispose of it. Not once then do you think that you should call the police." It isn't until the police come talk to her that she ultimately gets an attorney and they cut a deal. Now, this case has always been about Crystal Lee Kenny. She is the key witness. There is no body that has been produced. And today, we'll talk about in a second, they think they found what is to they testified that they found a human tooth. It was just a little unclear by the defense cross-examination of Crystal Lee Kenny that, frankly, it wasn't more accusatory of her and stressed more, oh, you're in such fear, but you didn't do anything to call anybody ever. All right. So today, the prosecution is going to attempt to corroborate everything that Crystal Lee Kenny does. Okay. There was a key question on redirect. Crystal Lee Kenny was asked, is everything you've testified to correct? And she says, not yes. I believe so. I would think if I was the key witness and I want to get the best deal I could, I would state with absolute certainty that what I've testified to is the absolute godforsaken truth, not I believe so. The defense should catch that and jump on that and argue that in closing statements. Obviously, somebody that's admittedly been involved in a crime and is going to try now to get out of any punishment for that crime will, for lack of a better term, exaggerate. You know, people do it all the time, snitches on the stand, corroborating witnesses, whatever you want to call them, been known to fabricate and exaggerate to help their case. I did have one case in federal court where the witness never talked to him because he refused to. He was a government witness, but he admitted on the stand that he would say just about anything to get a better deal for himself. Now, maybe that was his way of trying to help my client. Who knows? But ultimately, my client was acquitted because they did not believe that he was credible. And any time you have a co-conspirator, you have to corroborate what is being said by that witness so that they do not get the accomplice instruction, which says you've heard testimony from an accomplice and you can't convict just on her testimony alone. So now the prosecution has the task of trying to corroborate everything they can to make her look credible so that she is believable to the jury. Today, the prosecution first called a couple of dog handlers who had their cadaver dogs, one go to the house. They detected a scent near the vehicle, and the other one detected a scent at the alleged burn pit. Now, the handler stated that the dog sat down in the area of the burn pit. However, on cross-examination, the handler testified that he could not be absolutely certain that the dog hit for a particular reason because they did not find any human remains. Now, I have dealt with dogs and dog handlers in relation to many cases, usually drug sniff dogs. And usually these dogs, for lack of a better term, have a resume, and they have to report how many times that they've gone through training, basically if they've got it right, if they've got it wrong. And of course, they always try to say, oh, well, he didn't get it wrong because if he didn't smell it, even though there were drugs in the car, they say he just wasn't strong enough, and so they're never wrong. It's kind of like fingerprint analysis. Guys are never wrong. So you have to be somewhat careful when it comes to even cadaver dogs. When they don't find anything, they say they smell a scent, but you know the dog could just be tired. The dog just wanted to sit down there. There's lots of things that you just don't know. It's not like the dog can actually talk to you and say, oh yeah, I'm really smelling something here. Now, also today, some ranch hands that worked out at the Frazee Ranch were also called to testify that they were told basically to take this burn area, this burn pit, and put some hay over it. Testify to what they've done. Nothing unusual. Didn't see anything out of the ordinary other than they were told to do what they were supposed to do. That was it. There was witness testimony regarding what the officers and agents found when they were going through the property. They found some oil cans. Some were empty, some were half full. And the whole testimony of that was that Crystal Lee stated that there were accelerants, i.e. oil put on to intensify the fire. Later in the afternoon today, the agents testified that while they were sifting through this burn pit area, they believed what they identified as a suspected tooth. Okay. Now, in a trial, they can only say that it is a suspected tooth. They can't say whose tooth it was, or even in a trial, until they've actually established that it's blood sometimes, they'll have to say there was a blood-like substance. Until and if the forensic people come in and say that they collected it, tested it, did the DNA on it, can they actually testify that it was either human blood or, in this particular case, a human tooth? So we'll have to wait and see if it, in fact, was the tooth remains of Kelsey Barrett, or was it an old cow tooth that just happened to be there. The suspense builds. The suspense continues. Crystal Lee Kenny's father also testified to corroborate the fact that she was in Idaho and that she received a call and left on Thanksgiving Day. Investigators from the district attorney's office were called to testify as to video that was taken from various locations, in particular a Conoco station where Crystal Lee Kenny and Patrick Frazee got gas. But once again, this mysterious plastic bin was not seen in those videos. There was also video from the Sonic where Crystal Lee Kenny gets food before she heads out as well. Once again, now the prosecution is trying to corroborate everything she says to give her credibility, and this is part of it. It seems somewhat tedious. It seems somewhat mundane, but the government has a very heavy burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt, and simply saying, well, you have to believe Crystal Lee Kenny and that's it, isn't enough. And that's why in today's age of video electronics, they can literally track people around town by trying to get video surveillance where they believe people were. It's time-consuming, it's monotonous because somebody has to go back and review it, but they're doing that for an important case like this because the stakes are so high. Now, the special agents that went out there to the property with Crystal Lee Kenny at one point attempted to use luminol to see if, in fact, there was blood out there just like they had done at the house. The luminol was changing to the appropriate color that was they had to get a new batch of it because it was basically shown that there was blood everywhere and it turned out to be basically a false positive. The investigators also stated that they had limited success with luminol at Kelsey Barrett's apartment when they went back and searched it on December 19th. And the testimony concluded for the right before the last break of the afternoon with FBI agents talking about this partial tooth that was found. It's unclear what, if any, DNA testing was done, and if they were able to determine if, in fact, it was Kelsey Barrett's tooth, that would certainly be a huge corroborating fact for the prosecution to corroborate Crystal Lee Kenny's statements. This case is going to get good over the remaining 2 weeks that it's anticipated to go. My guess is the witnesses are going to move pretty expeditiously over the next few days, and this should be to the jury. My guess is by next Friday, depending on whether the defense is actually going to put on a defense or simply rest and argue that they being the government, has not met their burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. We'll wait and see. Next on the docket, we have a case out of New Jersey, and it is simply a case of you just cannot trust your local serial killers like you used to. You're not a serial killer, right? That was the text that the victim sent before she died. At 3:52 p.m. on November 19th of 2016, Khalil Wheeler Weaver used his phone to Google date rape drugs. 1 hour and 53 minutes later, he used the same phone to solicit Sarah Butler for sex, offering $500. Butler was nervous. "Wow," said Butler, 20, a college student who communicated with Weaver on a social media app called Tagged. "You are not a serial killer, right?" 10 days later, Butler's body was found under a pile of leaves and sticks in Eagle Rock Reservation. Details connecting Weaver Wheeler's cell phone searches for date rape drugs, his interest in deadly poisons, and his attempts to contact women for sex filled a day of testimony Thursday in Essex County Superior Court in Newark, New Jersey. Mr. Wheeler Weaver is accused of killing 3 women and attempting to murder a 4th in a 3-month killing spree in 2016. And I'm not making light of this, and I know college is expensive, but young women do not need to be making tuition and money for their books by having sex with strangers. That's called prostitution. Certainly, nobody that engages in prostitution deserves to be killed. But you have to remember, if somebody's out there trying to buy sex, there is probably a reason for it. They're probably a little weird, a little uneasy around other women and cannot get a date otherwise, or they could be a serial killer. You should assume the latter. They're a serial killer. Stay away. Tragic case. We'll see what happens with Mr. Wheeler, but I don't think it's going to end up well for him. Next on the docket, all criminal defendants that we talk about are given the presumption of innocence and should be given that presumption of innocence until they either plead guilty or are found guilty by a jury. The allegations against Marcy Montalongo are not going to get her any Mother of the Year awards. This California woman is suspected of drowning her 2-year-old daughter, and she told the dispatcher that she, quote, just snapped, end quote. Guess what, Miss Montalongo? You too are looking at some hard time, and you better hope that people don't give you a hard time when you get to prison, because people that do terrible things to children are not very high on the scale of people there. And yes, you will have a hard time. Next on the docket, we have our contestant for today for the Dumb Criminal of the Week. In this particular case, another Halloween reveler dressed as Jesus punched a cop in San Diego. In fact, he sucker punched that cop in San Diego. The male suspect, aka Jesus, apparently walked up to the police officers who were arresting another individual who had been kicked out of the bar where Jesus apparently was, and Jesus sucker punched the officer. This is another example of what would Jesus do. I don't think sucker punching a cop is one of them. So now, a quick recap of our contestants this week. The shirt says it's not a crime unless you get caught. Carino Salgado was arrested on misdemeanor charges after allegedly slapping a fellow officer. And the winner is, based upon a very non-scientific poll created by both myself and Kyle, the producer, we have decided that the winner for the Dumb Criminal of the Week is the Brick Burglars. Well, we're not really sure if they're burglars or just vandalizing something, but man, can that guy throw that rock? And at least he's stuck by his buddy. They get the Dumb Criminal of the Week award. And all they have to do is contact us at scott@scottreich.com and identify themselves properly. And they too shall receive a Crime Talk mug at no cost to them. And if you would like to receive a Crime Talk mug at a very small and reasonable cost, you can hit the link below and Teespring will send you one upon payment. And then you too can have a Crime Talk mug, and you didn't even have to be a contestant as the Dumb Criminal of the Week. Thanks for watching. I appreciate everyone that does. Please like the video. Please leave us a comment. What do you think about the Patrick Frazee case, the Mother of the Year, or the Dumb Criminal? Let us know. Please subscribe to the channel if you haven't already done so. Hit that little bell if you'd like to receive notifications of when we go live or we put out new content. Have a great day.